Amen. So, listen, if you've been Christian for any amount of time, right, like we all know the pressures of what it feels like to be in a community of believers and to have those who are outside of that community of believers, right, feel a certain way about you or feel a certain way about the people that you've involved yourself with or the church that you are a part of or the idea, like the world has an idea of what they believe Christians to be based on the Christians that they know. Amen? And sometimes they like to lump you into that, right? Because like it or not, we're connected. Amen? Like now some of you are looking at the people next to you and going, I don't know if I'll be connected with this one, right? Like, I mean, there's, if we're honest with ourselves, there are times where we do things as believers or we know believers who have done things that have made other people look at the church and go, I don't know if I want anything to do with them, right? So we've all experienced that. We've all been a part of that. We've all had people say those things to us. We've all had people come into our offices or places that we work and go, hey, did you see what Pastor so-and-so did, right? Like he just got caught doing this X, Y, and Z sin, right? Like, and like, see, I told you all Christians were hypocrites, right? We've all been in that situation before. We know what that feels like. And here's why I'm saying what I'm saying. You and I want to think that we are simply individuals who have faith in Jesus that's our own and doesn't belong to the collective whole, right? Because in our Western mindset, everyone's an individual. Now look, it wasn't that way before. You remember early on in our American heritage, we had a saying that said, united we stand, divided we fall. What's happened though is we've gone, and there was a time where people would show up to your house unannounced and you didn't hide on them. You know what I'm saying? Like when the doorbell rang, you weren't looking at your kids going, nobody make a move, man. Nobody make a sound. Maybe they'll go away. Right? Like we've all, like now though, that's how we react. You know, but back in the day, people were like, you know, you had like, coffee for people, snacks for people, like you were ready for anyone and everyone to show up. You welcomed people to your home. Now we're so individualized, man, that we have things like Facebook or Instagram or Snapchat or whatever else you want to put out there that's all about you. See, you're so individualized. Probably the most disgusting thing that exists in our world is the selfie. I'm sorry. Like, if you're a selfie-taking person, I love you. Like, I'm not, no judgment. I'm just saying, like, you know, it's like, look at me at this place, cha-ching. Look at me at that place, cha-ching. Instead of just enjoying the moment, it becomes all about you in the moment. Come on. You go to, like, some place you've never been before, it's fancy, it's nice, and you're not caught up in the moment with the person you're with. No, you're caught up in the fact that you're there with that person. But it's not about the place, it's about you. And so we miss out on the amazing things that God has for us because we're so focused on us and less focused on Him and other people. You were created for community. It is deeply embedded in your being. The entire Old Testament, New Testament essentially is about a relationship with you and God, right? So the entire Bible is summed up in this, that you messed up the story, you and I messed up the story. And look, we were so freakishly linked together that when one of us jacked it up, we all were jacked up with that one person who messed it up. Right? You ever have people say, like, why do I have to suffer for the sins of Adam? Well, because you were technically in him. Like, he represented all mankind at that time. So when you came along, you were part of the fallen nature, the sinful flesh part of who Adam was passed on to you, right? So it took a second Adam, hello, Jesus, who was perfect man, perfectly God, right, to reconcile you back to the one who you lost relationship with. Amen? And so now you're born again into him. And the same life that flows through his veins or flowed through his veins flows through yours. And he's gifted you to be a part of his people. There is nothing worse than a selfish Christian. A person who's been gifted with the things of the Spirit, but lives solely for themselves. What you do affects people. Every letter in the, are y'all with me? I don't know if y'all are with me, but we'll keep going anyway. Every letter in the New Testament, every single letter in the New Testament is about a church, not about a single individual. Every one of them is about a community of believers who are doing life together. It's so when you read you in the New Testament, most often that you is a collective you. But because we're so individualized, we read that you and we go, that's talking about me, right? Now, do you have an individual faith? Yes. Do you have a communal faith? Yes. And I need you. I need you. We think that what we do doesn't affect one another, when it does. What you do affects me. What I do affects you. You're lumped into the whole thing. Remember, Jesus said a little bit of leaven works through the whole lump of dough, right? So why are so many churches going liberal and okaying things that the Bible strictly forbids? It's because a little bit of leaven has started to work itself through the whole lump of dough. And unless the church starts to stand up and say, we aren't standing for that anymore, and we call each other on the carpet, and we hold each other accountable, we're going to end up places we never were meant to end up. All right. You guys ready to get into it? Let me say this. In community, there's always conflict, right? When you're in a community, there's always conflict. You were born into a community, right? You were born into a family. Whether you're the single child or not, you had two parents. Wherever there's three, there's community, amen? So you were born into community. You were created for it. It starts from the very minute you're born, right? So conflict arises. Conflict always arises in community, and it arises for one of two reasons. One, there's lack of communication, right? So people just stink at communicating. The other one is there's lack of understanding, which I dare say, if you're married, you understand both of those. Because if you're married, you may have great communication, but complete lack of understanding of why the other person is doing what they're doing. Amen? So women are looking at men going, I don't get why you do that. And the man's looking at the woman going, I don't understand why you don't understand me, right? And there's lack of understanding. Sometimes lack of understanding is really funny. Sometimes lack of understanding is not good. When Sarah was pregnant with our son, Alden, she decided that she wanted to have a midwife, which means we were having the baby at our house. Now, I was okay with this at first. I was like, okay, all right. I'm a little freaked out about that, but I think I can deal, right? But I told my wife, I said, listen, the midwife has to show up. She's got to make it because there's no way I'm delivering this kid by myself. Like, just you and me, it ain't happening, right? So the day comes for the baby to come, right? It's a Wednesday night. I was a youth pastor at the time. I'm getting ready to go talk to students. She calls me up. I had to get my intern to cover for me. I'm like, listen, my wife's having a baby. I got to go, right? Because it's me and her, and we're at our house, and I don't know what the heck's going to happen. So I get home, and she calls the midwife. She's like, yeah, I think we have time, blah, blah, blah. We didn't have time. So the next phone call to the midwife is, you need to get here right now because this kid is coming. Now we had like one of these birth pool things. So she's in the birth pool. I am freaking out, right? Because I don't know what I'm doing. So I'm on the phone with the midwife. I'm like, listen, please, you got to get here. Please, you got to get here. Like, and she's going, hey, tell her not to push. Which, trying to tell a pregnant woman not to push when she needs to push, ain't happening. So I'm like, hey, babe, don't push. So she starts yelling at me like, I can't not push. So I'm like, she can't not push. I call my mom. I'm like, hold on, give me a minute. I call my mom up on the phone. I'm like, Mom, you got to get over here. Like, you've had four of these things. Like, I don't know what the heck I'm doing, right? So like, my mom shows up. I'm boiling water on the stove. She's like, Aaron, you don't have to boil water. I'm like, my hot water heater had gone out. So like, I literally had to boil hot water. Anyways, so this scene is crazy. Finally, Alden comes out. And I just start crying. I'm like, I gotta go, right? So like, I hang up the phone, midwife shows up. Well, you know, things are going well now, and like, I'm calmed down, I'm good, I've come back to reality, like Alden's born, all's good in the world. So I tell the midwife, listen, if you want snacks, we have snacks, and if you wanna play Wii. Well, so she knew I was a pastor. So I leave the room for a second, and my wife and her are in the room, and she goes, did he say that if I wanted some weed, that you have weed? And she goes, no, he said, we have a Wii if you want to play the Wii. And she was like, oh my goodness. So like, misunderstandings happen, right? They happen every day. Sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're really serious. We get to this scripture, and there's this huge misunderstanding. Israel has gotten into the land. The Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh have settled on the other side of the Jordan, and they build this altar, which was a major no-no, because the altar was meant to be in the center of the tabernacle for the people of God to bring their sacrifices and all these things, right? So Israel gets upset because they're like, what are you doing, dude? You're rebelling against our God. You're doing things you shouldn't be doing. Like, this is what's going on, right? And so they're mad. And so they get one of the priests, Phinehas, and like 10 chiefs of the tribes to come to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe Manasseh. And they come to them, and they're ready to throw bows, right? Like, it's like this. Because Oh my goodness, I can't believe I forgot his name. Wow, homeboy who took the stuff that was that he shouldn't have taken. Achan. So Achan, wow, that was, I'm 43, so that happens. But anyways, like, so Achan, right? Achan takes the stuff, and they go to, like, listen, don't you remember the sin of Peor, like in Numbers 25, where people started worshiping Baal, and God punished us. Like, there was this plague that came upon us, and 24,000 people fell. Like, don't you remember Achan, and when he took the stuff that he wasn't supposed to take, and how, like, we lost the AI because of Achan's sin? They're like, listen, if you do this, all of Israel's going to be punished. And this is what he says, is not the iniquity of Peor enough for us? That's in Numbers 25. Enough for us, from which we have not cleansed ourselves to this day, although a plague came on the congregation of the Lord, that you must turn away this day from following the Lord. If you rebel against the Lord today, he will be angry with the whole congregation of Israel tomorrow. If, however, the land of your possession is unclean, then cross into the land of the possession of the Lord, where the Lord's tabernacle stands, and take possession among us. Only do not rebel against the Lord. So saying, listen, if you're wanting to rebel against God, don't do that. Rather, come and live among us and be back in community, in good community with the Lord. Or rebel against us by building an altar for yourselves besides the altar of the Lord our God. Did not Achan, the son of Zerah, act unfaithfully in the things under the ban? And wrath fall on all the congregation of Israel. Because remember, all of Israel was punished because of that. And the man did not perish alone in his iniquity. So what does this teach us? Because tonight we're talking about Christian community, right? Number one, it teaches us to keep, that Christian community keeps us accountable. Listen, we need one another. Because when we start going a certain direction, right? And look, it was a misunderstanding, right? We're going to find out about that. But they don't know that yet. All they know is that the people of God are getting ready to turn against their God and rebel against them. And that what they've experienced is when they do that, all the people of God suffer. Listen, when we sin, when we do things we ought not to do, and there's enough of us doing it, listen, if you have a Christian sticker on the back of your car and you cut somebody off in traffic and you flick them off, you have a bad testimony. Amen? And other people who see that go, man, that's what Christians are like, man. All Christians are like that. Right? Christian community keeps us accountable. Listen to Galatians 6:1-2. Brethren, even if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to not looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So we're called to carry each other's burdens. Listen to James 5:16 through, listen, we don't do this. If there's one thing in the Bible we don't do as Protestant Christians, is this right here. Because we are scared to tell each other what we're doing, right? Because I don't know if you can keep that to yourself. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured rain, and the earth produced fruit. My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And this is what Israel's doing. Israel's going to their brothers and saying, hey, bro, like, we're worried about the fact that you're rebelling against God and you might be in danger of forfeiting your very soul. We don't care. We look at our brothers and sisters in sin and we go, that's just them. That's just them doing them. That's them living their way, right? Like, we don't care enough to go to that person and go, dude, what are you doing? Do you realize that what you're doing is seriously affecting the lives of the other people around you and the testimony that you have before God, like, and before other people? Like, it's being ruined because you would rather be in this sin than be with God and his people. What are you doing? Man, we're afraid to go. Listen, I have brothers and sisters. I have brothers in Christ that I confess sin to. And you know what happens when you confess your sins to another person? Like, it happens when you confess your sins to God because God convicts us by his Spirit. But what happens is someone else knows you're jacked up and they check in on you. And you know they're going to check in on you. So when you want to sin, what happens is you go, I know that so-and-so is going to check up on me, and I really don't want to have to tell them again that I did this, right? You need to find people in your life that you can confess sin to. Because your sin, left unchecked, will take over your very self and will possibly kill your soul. Then the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half-tribe of Manasseh answered and spoke to the heads of the families of Israel. The mighty one, God, the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord. So I love that they say this twice. They're like, listen, we know that God is God. We know that we're collective together in this thing. We know that the same God that you serve is the same God we serve. We're on the same team. Right? The mighty one, God, the Lord, the mighty one, God, the Lord, he knows, and may Israel itself know, if it was in rebellion or if in an unfaithful act against the Lord, do not save us this day. So they're saying, look, if what we've done is because we were trying to rebel against God, then let us be punished, right? If we have built us an altar to turn away from the following the Lord, or if to offer a burnt offering, or a grain offering on it, or if our offer a sacrifice, a peace offering on it, may the Lord himself require it ourselves, right? But truly we have done this out of concern for a reason, saying, in time to come, your sons may say to our sons, what have you to do with the Lord, the God of Israel? For the Lord has made the Jordan a border between us and you, sons of Reuben and sons of Gad, and you have no portion in the Lord. So your sons may make our sons stop fearing the Lord. So they're going, you don't understand. You're misunderstanding the whole thing, right? Like, this whole purpose of why we're building this altar is so that we would all know and remember that we're in this together, because they're making a dime when your sons and our sons, where your sons look at our sons and go, because you're on the other side of Jordan, you're not a part of us. And this altar is standing as a representation that no God, the same God that is your God, is our God. Amen? Therefore, we said, let us build an altar, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice. Rather, it shall be a witness between us and you and between our generations after us that we are to perform the service of the Lord before him with our burnt offerings and with our sacrifice and with our peace offerings, so that your sons will not say to our sons in time to come, you have no portion of the Lord. Therefore, we said, it shall also come about, if they say this to us or to our generations in time to come, that we shall say, see, the copy of the altar of the Lord, which our fathers made, not for burnt offering or for sacrifice, rather it is witness between us and you. Far be it from us that we should rebel against the Lord and turn away from following the Lord this day. We're gonna stop there. So the second thing, the first thing is Christian community keeps us accountable, amen? So we should be holding each other accountable. But you and I like to think that we're individuals and that we have an individual faith, and my individual faith doesn't affect your faith. It does. And we like to think that the community of believers is just for us all to come in here and sit down and listen for a little while to a horrible preacher say things to us, right? Like, no, it's for our good, right? Like, we're here together to look across the aisle and be like, no, you're my brother, you're my sister, amen? And listen, do not find accountability partner of the opposite sex. Make sure it is a brother if you're a brother and a sister if it's a sister, amen? All right. We're not going to go down that road. Christian community helps us stay devoted. The whole purpose of this building, of them building this altar, was to stay devoted to God collectively. Amen? Like, if I am not holding you accountable, and if I'm not helping you in your faith, there's a problem. Amen? If I'm not helping you stay devoted to God, if by my life I'm not spurring you on towards love and good deeds, there's an issue. Are you with me? All right, 1 Thessalonians 2. Just as you know, we were exhorting and encouraging and imploring each one of you as a father would his own children. This is Paul, right? Talking to the church in Thessalonica. Remember, he's talking to a church. So that you would walk in a manner worthy of God who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. He's like, the whole reason we're writing this letter is so that you yourselves will walk in a manner worthy of God, right? Because the temptation was to for the church at Thessalonica, because you remember there was a lot of persecution, there was a lot of things stirring up for them, and the temptation was to turn away from God because they were being told that Jesus had already come back. And they were being told that they missed it. And Paul is going, no, brothers, we're writing this letter to you to say it's not yet happened and to encourage you and exhort you to keep following the Lord. Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Give preference to one another in honor. Not lagging behind in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, devoted to prayer. Because of our individualism, you and I look at one another and we don't seek to understand each other. So when something happens, and look, if you're married, you understand this, or in a relationship at all, you understand this, right? If you're in a relationship with anybody, you understand this. We too often seek to be understood instead of seeking to understand. We want everyone to understand us instead of seeking to understand the other person. And we want to be right. We will justify ourselves. We will promote ourselves. We will, instead of promoting the other person and looking at what they need and going, no, I'm willing to humble myself and yield to you. The scripture is not in there, but James chapter 4, or into chapter 3. Listen to what James says here. Into chapter 3, he says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. So he's saying, if you're this way, don't lie about it. Don't act like you're not arrogant. Don't act like you don't have this bitter jealousy within you. Be honest about it, right? Because what we like to do is when we see other people succeed, we like to, inside, we're bitterly jealous, but outside we're like, I'm so glad for them, right? I'm so happy they got that, right? When you're really lying against the truth, right? Because when you turn around and somebody else starts talking about it, you join in with the gossip. You know what I'm saying? We're quick, and look, all of us do it. We're quick to be like, I know so-and-so should have never got that promotion. Like, I totally should have got it, right? But then so-and-so, when you were face-to-face with them, you're like, I'm so glad for you. I'm so happy. James is saying that kind of response is earthly and of the devil because you aren't being honest. Now, I'm not saying you go up to that person and go, look, I'm so happy. I'm so glad. I should have gotten the promotion. Right, I'm not saying you go to them and you belittle them and like you're like, you're the worst worker here. Why would they give it to you? Like, I'm not saying you do that, right? But what I am saying is you take a moment and you go to your prayer closet and you go, Lord, please help my heart because my heart's in the wrong place. Amen? And when it comes to community, we ought to be that way. Listen to how he goes on. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. We know that. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. One scripture says, willing to yield. Willing to yield. When was the last time you were in an argument where you gave up, where you're like, you know what? I'm gonna yield to this situation. I don't need to have my way. We're constantly demanding our way. I saw some of you looking at each other like, remember when that happened yesterday? No. Christian community helps us stay devoted. Look at Joshua 31, and we're almost done, I swear. So when Phinehas, the priest, and the leaders of the congregation, they fell asleep back there. They're like, how long is this guy gonna go? Even the heads of the families of Israel who were with them heard the words which the sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad and the half tribe of sons of Manasseh spoke. It pleased them. So they're hearing this and they're like, okay, and Phinehas, the son of Eleazar, the priest, said to the son of Reuben and to the sons of Gad and to the sons of Manasseh, today we know that the Lord is in our midst because you have not committed this unfair act against the Lord. Now you have delivered the sons of Israel from the hand of the Lord. So the third thing that Christian community seeks to understand one another. Listen, you may have been wronged by somebody in the church. You may have been wronged by somebody, but you have to look at what they did in light of maybe what they meant. See, we're never asking that, right? We're just going, oh, they gave me a bad look, or oh, they, and it may have had nothing to do with you. See, the problem is we're so self-centered that we think that everything people does or we think that everything that people do, thank you, is about us. Right? So we're like, you know, we think that like, well, this person looked at me funny, so that means they have a problem with me. No, they may be, their whole life may be crashing down, and you may have been just caught in the crossfire. Yeah, social media, yeah. Don't even get me started on social media, bro. Listen. Your opinion is not your own, man. It's like, you know, you have an opinion, and everyone's like, no, this is fact. My opinion actually is the truth, right? And they'll blow it. Anyway, okay. So like, but we're not seeking to understand each other, man. We're just seeking to, we literally think that what that person did had everything to do with us when it had possibly nothing to do with you whatsoever. Stop thinking of yourself so highly and humble yourself. Think for a moment that that person might be having a problem. And it's not you. And when someone mistreats you, stop for a minute. Listen, if anyone deserved to be treated well on this planet, it was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who came to this earth to visit us. Amen? But he was completely mistreated. What do you think people are going to do to you and me? Even in the church, look, not every person that comes into this building is a Christian, let alone a good one.
Hello?
Right. Listen, I suck at times. You know what I'm saying? There have been Saturday nights when I've come into this building dealing with some stuff in here, and it's taken everything in me to say hi to people. You know what I'm saying? Christian community keeps us accountable, helps us stay devoted. In Christian community, we should seek to understand one another, not seek to be understood. Listen to Philippians 2, 3. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others. Christian community helps us keep Christ at the center of our life. Listen to what happens in Joshua 22, verse 34. You guys can bring that up. Joshua 22, 34. Sorry. All right, we'll see. There we go. The sons of Reuben and the sons of Gad called the altar witness, for they said, it is a witness between us that the Lord is God. So Christian community should help us keep Christ at the center of our life. And listen, if you're not in a life group, or if you're not doing life with other believers, you need to get in one. Because it's in that that you find community. It's in that that you find strength. It's in that that you find the things that this is talking about. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things above, not on the things that are on earth. For you have died. So who died? And your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. You died. You know what dead people don't do? They don't demand their own way. Paul said this in Galatians, it's not on there, but Paul says this in Galatians. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. And this life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Therefore, take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Talking to the church. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And I need you and you need me to do that. Because there's going to come times where I want to throw in the towel. And there's going to come times where you want to throw in the towel. And we need to encourage and drag each other along until we make it. And your part matters. There is this famous conductor, and he's up there conducting his orchestra, and they're in practice, right? And they're conducting he's conducting this orchestra, and it's going great, right? Anybody know what a piccolo is? Yeah, really tiny instrument. It's like this big, right? It's like this little flute that you just go, right? Like that's it. It's like, it's quiet, it's soft, it's not easy to hear, right? Like if you're, no one masculine is playing a piccolo. You're like that's, like no man is being like, I want to play the piccolo, it's my favorite, right? Like it's not that instrument, right? Like it's just, anyway, so like he's conducting his orchestra and it gets time for the piccolo part to come in. Sorry to spit on you, bro. Gets time for the piccolo part to come in, right? And so he's waiting on the piccolo and the piccolo doesn't play, right? So this famous conductor stops the entire orchestra and just goes, where is my piccolo? And the guy like raises his hand, right? And the conductor's like, why didn't you play? Because see, there's something that the conductor knows about music that the other people who are playing it aren't fully aware of. Like he knows when each part is meant to come in and he's orchestrating it that to that degree. And he's going, I know when to listen for my piccolo. Like I know when it's coming. Listen, the people in the audience, they might not know it's even being played, but I know when it's being played. And the piccolo, so he asked the piccolo player, hey, why didn't you play the piccolo? And he was like, well, I didn't think anyone would hear me. See, some of you are just piccolo players, and you think that what you're doing doesn't matter in the great orchestra of God's plan, when it really does. We need one another. So when God calls on you, you better play your stinking piccolo. Because he knows when you're not. And listen, I'm affected when you don't. You're affected when I don't play my part. I'm affected when you don't play your part. In the great orchestra of God's music, your part matters. You're a part of the body of Christ, and no one can look at the other part of the body and go, you don't belong. But man, our individual Western world, we want to believe we're a body unto ourselves. We want to believe that we don't need one another. We want to believe I don't need you. I'm fine with just me and God. And God's going, no, you're not. I created you to be in community, and the only way you can live out your faith is within the construct of the community of believers. Father, we are in desperate need. Lord, I don't even know if this even is sinking in because we're so individualized, Lord. But Lord, help us to seek out the community in which you've called us to be a part of, because it's going to help us stay accountable to your word. It's going to help us stay devoted to the things in which you've called us to do. We'll be around people that, Lord willing, are seeking to understand us instead of seeking to be understood. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would help us to keep you at the center of everything. Lord, I thank you. And we just ask this all to your glory, King Jesus. Amen. Love you guys.